This is a CBC podcast.
Support for delivery of this podcast comes from Chevrolet. At Chevrolet, we bring people together with the things that matter to them most. Visit Chevrolet.gm.ca.
Hello, I'm Sheila Rogers. Welcome to the best of Sounds Like Canada. You're listening to our podcast of the day's highlights of Sounds Like Canada, and you can catch our full show on CBC Radio 1 at 10 o'clock or a couple of times a day on Sirius Satellite Radio 137.
Grade 8 was the worst year of my life. I was bullied every day for months, and I've never lost the feeling that there's something wrong with me. Something that drew the bullies to me. So I'm going back to Edmonton to hunt down my bullies. I want to know why they targeted me, and also see if things are any better for kids nowadays, because my experience was supposed to make a difference. I was part of a TV news story about bullying in junior high.
If they said anything to me, it was derogatory, like, you're a slut and a whore and I'm going to get you and everything. And it got to the point where I couldn't sit down without having to brush a hand away from my desk, because there was always a hand there waiting to grab my butt or my ass or anything.
Kenilworth Junior High, my alma mater, my old torture chamber. There were three of them. Three boys who'd call me basketball head, constantly grab my butt, and make creepy sexual remarks. As the year went on, I shrank into a ball of anxiety.
Well, that's the opening scene of The Bully's Mark, a documentary which airs on Global later this week. We're taking a look at this issue. It's been in the news a lot lately, especially following the brutal attack on a teenage girl in Nova Scotia a few weeks ago. We talked about bullying and youth justice with our Thursday think tank as well, and received a huge outpouring of mail in response. So this morning, we thought we'd take a look at bullying from a very personal perspective. Erin Thompson is the narrator of this documentary, the time traveler of The Bully's Mark, and she joins us from Ottawa this morning. Erin, good morning.
Hi, Kevin.
Is it tough to listen to some of those things again, you know, the basketball head, the people grabbing you, calling you all these sexual insults?
Sometimes it is. If I really let myself go there and hear how tiny I sound in that first news piece, it sometimes is, yeah.
And 13 years later, you decide it's time to go back. So how did that feel, walking into that high school again?
To be totally honest, the first time I walked back into my old junior high, I felt like I was, you know, 13 again. Walking down the hallway and seeing my old locker and seeing some of my old teachers, and the school hasn't changed a bit. So it really was like going back to junior high again.
The school hasn't changed a bit physically.
No, not at all.
Yeah, that must be, I mean, I was bullied too. Being short and fat with dark skin, not a great combination growing up in rural United States.
Yeah.
But it was interesting because when I can't go back to my old high school. Like, there were dents in the locker that are shaped like my head from the stuff that used to happen to me. But what I find interesting there is I mention that specifically because as a boy, it was physical. As a girl, it was almost always psychological with you, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, for me, actually, there were three boys who were kind of the ringleaders, I guess you could say, and they were more physical. Like they did a lot of grabbing my butt. But then once I became unpopular, and once boys started to pick on me, all of my girlfriends kind of dropped me. So it was the exclusion, and that was really hard to deal with.
That was harder than the physical stuff.
Yeah, I think it was, because when you're a girl in girl world, your friends are really, especially at that age, your lifeline, and that's the center of your life. So to lose your friends, yeah, that's devastating.
It's interesting you mentioned that you became unpopular through this. So this was like almost like a smear campaign.
Yeah, I mean, the rumors and everybody just kind of dropping you, and whispers in the hallway, the sort of thing that, I mean, most girls, I'm sure any girl will tell you that they've been a victim of that at some point in their junior high and high school career.
And what was interesting, too, in the documentary is that you find that a lot of the bullying is taking place from people who are doing it in order to be popular or who are popular already.
That's really interesting because I don't think I ever really thought of it that way when I was in junior high, when I was living it. It wasn't until I went to do the research for this documentary that I realized that a lot of the experts are saying kids are bullying because they know that it'll draw attention to them and it'll keep them in a position of power, and it's a conscious thing.
So you say that you go back to Kenilworth High School.
Yeah.
Physically, nothing's changed.
Yes.
Has the bullying scene changed?
Well, I think that the attitude from the school, the teachers, the administration, that has certainly changed. They're really taking it seriously. Bullying itself hasn't disappeared. I don't think anyone's surprised to hear that, but I think the ways that kids bully with internet and cell phones and SMS, all that sort of stuff, I think that has made it almost more pervasive because kids go home and the bullying follows them on their Facebook page or what have you.
That was a frightening part of it. In fact, to talk about that a little bit, the cyberbullying, I actually want to play another scene from your documentary. And this is where you introduce us to a brother and a sister who are both being bullied.
Yeah.
When we meet Colby, shortly after Christmas, he's having a very bad week. Got into a fight at the LRT station defending his sister. And at school, he's being pushed around by bigger boys.
Some people at my school don't even like me because I'm small and weak, and I'm more sensitive than other guys. And so they think it's an opportunity to bug someone for fun. Well, there's this one guy, he's like really big. He's been pushing me into lockers, calling me like gay and faggot and stuff, and like trying to shove me in garbage cans and making all my friends hate me. And then I can't say anything back because then he'll just punch me in the face. Like yesterday he sent me a message saying, you effing faggot. And that's the first message he's ever sent to me on Nex.
Nex is the social networking site, Nexopia, the center of teen life in Edmonton. Here, instant communication and teenage hormones can be a pretty deadly combination. While we were interviewing Colby, his twin sister was dealing with her own Nexopia crisis.
They send like stuff like, you effing slut, effing whore, go to your corner, have a pee slut day. A greasy-haired little, like, B-word thing.
I found this, Erin, the hardest part to watch. And you make the point in the documentary that, you know, you at least saw, for the most part, the people who were bullying you.
Yeah, I mean, for that girl in that clip that you just played, she has an idea of who is doing these things to her and sending her these messages, but she's kind of powerless to stop it. And I mean, the worst thing in her case is that these girls who were doing it, they were her friends. And so they actually managed to get a hold of her password to her internet kind of identity on this website called Nexopia. And they stole it from her and they locked her out. So not only are they excluding her, but they've actually pretty much stolen her personality, her identity, and made a mockery of it on the internet for all of her friends to see. It's really, really brutal.
It took her a while to try to get that resolved as well.
Well, yeah. I mean, and the other thing in this situation is, like, you have to tread very, very carefully in girl world, right? If you have a few allies, you don't want to do something the wrong way and alienate yourself even further. So just to find out who's got the password and how to change it back and how to convince them to come back on side and not be, you know, so cruel. It blows my mind. I don't know how she handled it.
I have the same thing. And when you say you don't know how she handled it, I mean, you meet lots of kids too, even though the administration is more open to things. They're still undergoing the pressure of really facing deep depression. In fact, Colby's sister is facing depression at the point where she's seeing these messages flash up suddenly on her screen.
Yeah. And I think that's I mean, that's the other thing. When it's online and not face-to-face, you don't know just how damaging it is. You're not there when they click open on the message and they see it. So you can't... I mean, in face-to-face discussions or face-to-face insults, you can kind of see if you've crossed the line and you can kind of say, oh, I'm sorry, or pull back, but you don't see that. And especially when you're going to go to school and see the girl that is being bullied and they're going to put on a brave face.
So what is the administration doing? Should they not be patrolling internet sites? Should they not be cracking down more? You say they're more open to it than they were when you were there, but really what are they doing practically to try to put an end to this stuff?
Well, it varies from school to school, of course. And I think the biggest problem when you're talking about cyberbullying is you can't really control. I mean, you can't be there in every child's home saying, no, you can't do that. The internet, everybody can be anonymous. So how do you track it? A lot of schools do track computer usage at school. And if you can find a link to school and the cyberbullying that's happened, you can bring in the kids and talk about it, especially if it spills into class time or school time. But that's the whole problem that schools are facing, is that it's like an enigma. It's all hidden and it's all very covert. It's very difficult to track.
You're listening to Sounds Like Canada on CBC Radio 1. I'm Kevin Sylvester, sitting in for Sheila Rogers, and I'm speaking with Aaron Thompson, who is the subject and narrator of the new documentary, The Bully's Mark. You say at one point that you weren't sure if you were bullied because you were a soft person or whether the bullying made you a softer person. Were you able to find out any answers to that question?
I kind of think it's a little bit of both. I always thought it was an either or situation up until the point where I started to think about bullying every day for a year and its impact on me. But I do think that I was an easy target. I was a sensitive girl and I wouldn't stand up for myself. I was so afraid that standing up for myself would make me further a target that I didn't say anything. And then I think because I was so easy, they just kept picking on me. And I think after a year of being called names and, being grabbed and just kind of demeaned every day at school, you are going to be a little bit softer. I don't see how anybody wouldn't be.
This is a loaded question, but isn't that in some ways, at least that sensitivity to other people's hurt, isn't that maybe a good side effect of the bullying in a way?
Oh, I think so. I hope that it doesn't come out of the woodwork that somebody in high school that I might have done the same to them. I really hope not. But I like to think that as I grew up, I really became more sensitive to if I saw bullying going on in my older years, at least not to participate and definitely to kind of leave the situation, because sometimes, you're afraid of drawing the attention to yourself. But I do think that that's definitely a positive.
I want to flip to the other side, because you do examine the bully side of things in this documentary as well.
Sure.
And there's some of the girls in the school talk very openly about how they bully and why they bully. Tell us a little bit about just what you found out there.
Well, I mean, it's surprising they were so candid. We did talk about a couple of instances of girl-on-girl bullying, and I think what's really interesting is that the way that girls' social networks kind of form, they don't really... I mean, they know that it's bullying, but I think they just accept that it's a part of their culture. I like to call them frenemies, where you don't want to, it's better to be part of the group and being the one that's being kicked around than to be not part of the group. And it's amazing that they think, it's just words. We're not physically beating up girls like boys do, so it can't possibly be as hurtful, and that they'll just have to deal with it if they want to be a part of the group.
Did they ever come around in your discussions to understanding that other side of it? I just found that they had a kind of a lack of empathy at one point.
I think they got to a point where after we were of course talking to kids throughout the year, where I think they realized that. Whether or not they internalized it, it's something they shouldn't be doing, and that it did seem to cause harm. And that it wasn't a positive experience for anybody, really. When you get down to the root of it, it's not a positive experience to be bringing negativity into the classroom.
Although it's interesting, because at that point, it's almost more that they saw that they were going to get in trouble with the administration because you'd brought it to their attention.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Everything is so complex. If I could understand the minds of 14-year-old girls, then I think we'd be able to solve a lot of school problems.
Yeah, but it's interesting to watch, because they're trying their darndest to the administration. The one principal you spoke to, the woman, clearly cares and takes I guess you'd call it almost a nurturing approach, and yet mm-hmm. the bullying still seems to be there at every level. I mean, at some point, aren't the bullies just saying, look, suck it up, I'm just razzing you. You know, I'm just giving you a whack on the shoulder.
Oh, absolutely. And gosh, it's so tricky, because kids don't even want to talk about it. Like, I would go into classrooms and say, okay, I'm here to talk about bullying. And they'd all just, I don't want to talk about this. It's kind of like the dorky topic. So it's hard to get a whole school on board to thinking this is not a cool thing to do if you can't even get them to agree to talk about it openly and discuss how these feelings are impacting their daily lives.
I guess that's a part of the problem, is breaking through that whole idea of dorky topics. It's not just, it's not just bullying. There are lots of them in junior high school.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, I think some of the things that kids don't realize is that bullying can have huge ramifications, like bully sides, kids who take their own life after being bullied, or depression, like we saw with Colby's sister, or, you could even go so far as to say Columbine, those kids, those two guys were bullied for years. And I mean, you can't just draw a direct causal link and say that there's nothing else going on there, but those are the extreme ramifications of something that, could just be name-calling in the eyes of somebody who's doing the bullying.
You do see, though, the brother of one of the girls who died in the Columbine shootings going mm-hmm. around making a direct link.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, Craig Scott is doing an excellent job, and I think that if more people kind of hold bullies accountable for their behavior when it's just teasing, and pull it back before it gets to a really, really drastic level, we might see less of these sorts of things happening.
And I again, just to maybe not give too much away, but part of your journey going back was to see how things had changed, but you also want to confront the people who bullied you. You're able to do that to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
Did that help you? Did it help him? Did it help you understand the problem?
I think I know it helped me. I feel a lot stronger. I feel like I've kind of, these guys, they weren't just bugging me in grade eight. This whole year where I was trying to find them and trying to get them to sit down and talk to me, it was like a shadow over my head. And I felt like they had power over me again. Like, here I am trying so desperately to get in touch with them, and their power to just ignore me and not return calls and avoid me. So when I finally got to sit down with them, I felt like I had some of my own power back, and not just in the context of that conversation, but also just in general in life. I felt like, oh, I can do this. And I did get to a point in my life where I could confront these fears and this, I don't want to say demons, that's kind of a little bit too much, but yeah, I think it helped me a lot.
Erin, thanks very much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Kevin.
You can see Erin Thompson and her documentary, The Bully's Mark, later this week on Global. It airs nationally at 10 o'clock, Saturday, October 27th. Now, the film is directed by Helen Slinger, produced by Erin's mother, Maureen Palmer. And if you are interested in finding out more about anti-bullying programs in Canada, we'll put some links to some websites on our website, which is cbc.ca/soundslikecanada. And if you have any thoughts you'd like to share on this subject or anything else you hear here on the show, you can email us at soundslikecanada@cbc.ca.
That's the best of Sounds Like Canada. Highlights from our show on CBC Radio 1, heard weekday mornings at 10 o'clock. I'm Sheila Rogers. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Jesse Brown. I'm the host of Search Engine, a new CBC radio show that is all about how the internet is changing politics and culture. It's not a gadget show. We don't really care much about technology so much as we care about the effect that technology is having on the world that we live in. All of the surprising and significant and funny stories that we bring you on Search Engine are about things that are happening right now. In the short time that we've been on the air, we've already become the CBC's most popular news podcast in the States. So come find out why. Subscribe to our podcast on CBC's podcasting page or through iTunes.